This is The Illusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, scatter language like rose petals in a honeymoon suite. Sorry to whoever has to clean up. This episode is about Valentine, because the word has taken on a particular connotation which is quite far from the eponymous saint. And if you're not in the mood for romance, don't worry, because, content note, this episode contains plagues, beheading, animal sacrifices, and bird sex, which can be quite violent. On with the show. Oh, hi. Hi, have you been waiting long? No, it's fine. Nice to meet you, I'm St. Valentine. The St. Valentine. A St. Valentine, certainly. The one from the cards, and the heart-shaped boxes of chocolates, and the red lace bras and stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of have a portfolio career.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm actually also the patron saint of beekeepers, epilepsy and plagues. But you don't see beekeeper-shaped boxes of chocolates in the supermarkets in February, do you?
Well, how'd you get to be patron saint of beekeepers and epilepsy?
Well, I'm not the person to ask, really. That all got decided after I was dead, so... I did help out a few people who had epilepsy, but it's really hard to remember all the good things I did, you know. I had range.
Did you help a beekeeper with epilepsy? So they didn't know whether you were curing someone because they were a beekeeper or because they had epilepsy, so they had to make you the patron saint of both.
Right, yeah. Cover all bases. They'll sometimes also make you patron saint of a disease because you had it, or something you did reminded them of it.
Hmm.
Like St. Agatha being the patron saint of breast cancer.
Oh, because she had breast cancer?
No, because when she refused to marry a non-Christian at the age of 15, they tortured her and cut off her breasts.
Oh, that is horrible.
Yeah, it's not the best.
And how's the plague gig going for you?
Oh, right now? Oh, yeah, totally chill, yeah.
Oh, nothing much happening, right?
Ah, nailing it. It's not at all like being Santa Claus on Christmas Eve every day.
So when you're the patron saint of plagues, does that mean you're on the side of people suffering from plagues or on the side of the plagues?
You know what? I don't know. I should check the contract.
If I sacrifice an ox to you, will that make my plague better or worse?
There's only one way to find out. Are you feeling lucky?
No, not at all. I don't like those odds.
Yeah, don't trust me. Like I said, I got this job after I was dead, not on merit. Also, I'm not the only patron saint of plagues.
No?
Now there's loads of us. Huh. Dozens at our last gathering. Over 100 sometimes.
That's a lot.
Yeah, well, you want to have backups for something major like plagues.
Mm-hmm.
There are also like 40 epilepsy saints.
Oh, cool.
Share the responsibility a bit. But seriously, should I be praying to you until I get my vaccine or sacrificing an ox?
Can't hurt. Well, it'll hurt the ox.
And just you or all of the plague saints need to get a dead ox?
Yeah, I don't know. And... beware, you might manage to appease most of us, but if you forget St. Gregory or he doesn't like his dead ox, that might wreck your whole plague insurance coverage.
Right. Just don't expect miracles.
Okay. But isn't miracles what I'm supposed to expect from a saint?
Like I told you, I didn't apply for this job.
Yeah, okay, fair.
It is stressful. I'm spread pretty thin between plagues and romance, and if I do a bad job, they'll take me off the beat and replace me with someone else. That can happen with patron saints. Like, if you're the patron saint of not being chased by a bear, and someone gets chased by a bear on your watch, you can be reallocated to one of the rubbish patronages, like being patron saint of embarrassing noises when you sit on a chair and everyone thinks you farted, but it was just the chair.
Ah, it's rough. So no job security.
Well, that's why I've got the portfolio career. If I let the beekeepers down, there's always romance to fall back on.
Yeah, that's a good gig. How did you get it?
It's complicated. Huh. First of all, there are a lot of St. Valentines.
Really?
Yeah, Valentine was a popular name a couple of millennia ago. Derives from the Latin word for strength.
Grrr. Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting a gun show.
Well, I wrestled the other St. Valentines for supremacy. Joke, I didn't. There are about a dozen, so they could easily overpower me if they get together.
A dozen St. Valentines?
Yeah! Although they've narrowed down the Romance Day St. Valentine to just the three who died on the 14th of February.
Welcome back to Be My Valentine, and now it's time to decide who's going to be your Valentine. Will it be Valentine number one? A hot priest just like what you wanted after you watched Fleabag.
He was kept under house arrest by the aristocrat Asterius. He restored sight to Asterius's blind daughter. Then the emperor cut his head off. Will he lose his head for you? Or will it be Valentine number two? A bishop? Oh, powerful. He healed his captor's son and was, you guessed it, beheaded. Or will you choose Valentine number three? Man of mystery. All we know is he died on the north coast of Africa with 24 soldiers. But is he dying to meet you? I'll choose Valentine number one. Valentine number one! Come out here, come out here. Oh gosh, I'm so flattered. But here's the twist. Are you going to tell, or shall I? Well, I may have been Valentine number one and Valentine number two. I didn't mean to catfish you, just nobody's really sure if the Saint Valentine who was beheaded by a Roman emperor on the 14th of February is a different person to the Saint Valentine who was beheaded by a Roman emperor on the 14th of February, or the same one with the details tweaked a bit. The records from the period, unfortunately, are a bit iffy because Christianity wasn't legal in the Roman Empire while I was alive, so either records weren't kept in the first place, or they were destroyed in the great persecution of the year 303, when the Roman Emperor Diocletian ordered the burning of the churches and scriptures and the arrest or execution of religious officials and high-profile Christians. It does seem a bit of a coincidence that you'd have two Christian officials, both called Valentine, both beheaded on February the 14th. So, did the priest Valentine become the Bishop Valentine, then die? Were the priest Valentine and the Bishop Valentine separate people? The same people? Nobody knows. Not even me. Definitely dead, though. Hey, come back.
How did you get to be the romance saint again?
Great question. Was it some symbolic thing like St. Agatha, where they chopped your heart out and fed it to a crocodile? No, I think that was St. Jeremy. Was it some...
Did you do any particularly romantic stuff?
I had a reputation for secretly marrying couples.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Emperor of Rome was really pissed off about it.
Sounds like the Emperors of Rome were really pissed off about absolutely everything.
Yeah. In this case, it's because married men couldn't be conscripted into the army.
Wow, why not?
The Emperor thought marriage made them less efficient and not bloodthirsty enough.
Oh, God, why?
Yeah, what's his damage? There were some other rumours, like I used to pass love notes from Christian prisoners to each other.
Aww.
Or that I used to cut heart shapes out of parchment and hand them to soldiers to remind them of love.
Aww.
God's love.
Okay.
When you say rumour, well, all of this is a bit unclear because the records were all destroyed in the Great Persecution. And I've got a memory like someone whose head's been cut off, which of course mine was.
Yep. Yeah.
They also retcon stuff I did to sound more romantic. Like when I was under house arrest at Judge Asterius's house, and he was like, oh, all right, if your Christian God's so real, prove it. Cure my daughter's blindness.
Oh, that was real earlier. I thought that was artistic license.
No, it was the whole thing. But even though it was just me doing my miraculous duty, as a result of which I converted the whole household to Christianity and the judge released all Christian prisoners, in the retelling, it's been spun not as a religious thing, but as a romance thing.
As Valentine placed his hands over her eyes, she felt an uncontrollable shiver of excitement. As warmth spread through her body, golden light crept into the corners of her vision. She gasped as she felt Valentine's miraculous hands leave her face, and her eyes were flooded with a blur of colours and shapes, resolving into the smiling face of the soon-to-be saint in front of her. But how? She stammered. I went all the way to heaven to fetch the stars to put in your eyes, babe, he murmured.
But why?
She gasped. So you could read this. He placed a letter in her hands. I'm afraid I have to go now. Forever. Her eyes filled with tears, but when she blinked them away, Valentine was already gone. She picked up the letter. Her eyes were still waking after a lifetime of blindness. But through the blear, she saw the signature. From your Valentine.
That seems tenuous. I know, right? It's a better story, though, I guess. The first Valentine's card. Although any card I send is technically a Valentine's card. Mm-hmm. What's weird, though, is I got my own day in the year 496, but it wasn't a romance day until the 14th century. What happened? Again, not sure, but several poets got hold of it. Chaucer wrote The Parliament of Fowls about birds choosing their mates on St. Valentine's Day, then going at it really loudly. And then humans thought, why do birds get all the fun? Where's our day? Birds do it. Bees do it. Even my precious beekeepers do it. Not with the bees, I hope. Ugh. Courtly love was all the rage in Chaucer's time, but I don't know why people would have associated birds with it, because anyone who's been in the vicinity of birds mating knows that is not a courtly process. Oh, it's squawky. That's definitely one aspect of it. Any idea why Chaucer would have chosen your day for bird matchmaking? Timing? Mid-February, good time to choose your egg mate? There's another theory to consider, which is Valentine's Day. Sorry for referring to myself in the third person. Valentine's Day, like Christmas and Easter, was a Christian festival plonked on top of a pagan one to stop people celebrating the non-Christian one. Oh, what was the pagan one? Lupercalia? No? Celebrated in the Roman Empire on the 13th to 15th of February, where the Luperci order of priests would gather at the cave where the wolf raised Romulus and Remus. Uh-huh. Then they'd sacrifice a goat and a dog. No? Then cut the goat's skin into strips and then run through town naked, thwacking women and crops with the strips of skin to make them fertile. Mm. Then all the single ladies would put their names into a big urn and the single men would pick one out and they'd pair off.
I'm not familiar.
No? Not ringing any bells? Is it because Christianity stopped it being celebrated? Or because women and crops were like, you know what, I'm sick of being slapped with a freshly flayed strip of goat skin and being told it's for my own good. It's not documented, but either of those would be persuasive reasons. Fun fact, these strips of skin were called februa, and that's also the etymology of February.
Ah, I did not know that.
Yes, februa were purification rituals, all the implements used therein, and people were doing them on the Ides of February, which is the 15th of February. Fun fact for you, before English borrowed the word February, in Old English, the month was called Mud Month.
Ah, Solmonath.
You say Mud Month, I say Purification Month. Let's call the whole thing off.
Well, I have to get going now.
It's been nice to meet you.
I guess now if someone says be my Valentine, I'll know what I should be aiming for.
Will you, though?
Well, at least what to wear. Keep your head on, though. That would be too much commitment to the bit.
Yeah, well, good luck with all the cards and the plagues.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah, okay, bye.
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 Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Give your lover something special this Lupercalia. Luxury February, made from 100% pure goat. Available in ready blood dipped or plain. Buy any three and get a fourth for free using the code WOLF at checkout. The Illusionist is an independent podcast supported by you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for keeping the show afloat by being patrons at patreon.com/illusionist. Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is Rhyton, noun, an ancient Greek drinking container in the form of an animal's head or a horn, with the drinking hole at the lower or pointed end. Try using Rhyton in an email today. Got any plans to send Valentine's messages that are more going for the plague part of Valentine's than the romance times? Let me know on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, at Illusionist Show, what you come up with. How about, roses are red, my sputum is green, I'll declare my love from behind a plexiglass screen.
there are a lot of vague and disputed facts about St. Valentine, and I assure you I did not invent any of the things in this episode, even if they sound like bullshit. For every topic I cover in an episode, I put links to more information on the website. So you can read more about the episodes, you can hear all of them, you can see the full dictionary entries for the randomly selected words at the show's forever home, theillusionist.org.